going to continue with a reading from the Word of God before Mark comes to preach us. And so here comes Leslie to read to us from Luke's Gospel. Thank you very much.
The reading is from Luke 9, starting to read at verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Can you hear me through the mic? Great. Well, can't believe it's the last day. We've been here, Ange and I, 13 years. To think in 2009, I was standing where Andy is, roughly is now, and I was looking back, expecting my bride to walk through those doors. She threatened to be late, but she was early. And since then, it's been an amazing journey. It's been a real blessing to get to know you all. We've done some wonderful things together. We've done parades. We've done wonderful things in the park. We've put in a new PA system. It's been a real, real journey. And it's just a blessing to be able to speak on what is our last day here. The reading today is Jesus on a journey. Jesus has set out resolutely to get to Jerusalem. And the reading seems fitting because we all are on a journey. And I believe that today's message isn't about my journey. It's not really about Jesus's. It's about yours. Each and every one of you. God is wanting to speak to you, I feel, today about your journey. So, before we start, I'd like to take a moment. You could just slow your breathing down. Take some nice, deep breaths. And while you're doing that, just focus on Jesus behind me. Not the one at the top, the one at the bottom. Jesus the shepherd. And just think about your journey you're on at the moment. Where is your destination? What's going on for you at the moment? The people around you in your journey. And I want you to park that, because I think that's what Jesus is going to be talking to you about today. That journey. Don't let it go. Throughout the whole sermon, that's what we're talking about. Your journey. Right. So, into the text. I always like to understand what happened before the verses we read. And it's an action-packed chapter. It's got 62 verses, one-fifth of them are on the journey, but four-fifths are about loads of things that happen. We have Jesus sending out the disciples to towns, and they come back. There's no details of the report. I would love to know what happened with those disciples. But they come back, then Jesus goes up a mountain, meets Elijah and Moses in what we call the Transfiguration. He comes down, feeds the 5,000 with, is it 5 loaves and 2 fish? I should remember, but I don't. You know, there's lots going on. Jesus cast out a demon from a child. People are healed left, right, and center. There's lots happening in 50 verses. And the author almost takes a break when he gets to 51. As if it was a play, he would take a deep breath, slow the play down, and go, but this journey Jesus is on is important. The author starts putting in details that were lost in the earlier bits. The feeding of the 5,000, we don't know what Jesus really said or how they responded. The report from the disciples isn't captured. The healing of the boy, we only see what Jesus says to the disciples. But this bit, we see engagement with people. The author saying, this is important. So what can we learn? What can we learn? Well, from 51 to 56, we can see that Jesus has asked his disciples to go out. Go and make way so that when he gets to the town he's going on to, he's got somewhere to sleep. And somewhat understandably, okay, because if you've been ministering all day, you've been working all day, the last thing you want to do is get home or find a place where you're going to and go, where do I sleep? Where do I find my food? But where they go first is really interesting. They go to a Samaritan village or town. Why is that interesting? Because of the bitterness between the Israelites and the Samaritans. You see, they've been at war for 200 years with each other, killing each other and fighting each other and squabbling. Why was that the first place Jesus is going to lay his head? That's for you to ponder. What happens to the disciples is what I would like to discuss. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I read the Bible and sometimes imagine what's going on. And I can imagine the disciples getting to the Samaritan village and going, okay, we've got Jesus, he's on his way through. We need somewhere to sleep and we need somewhere to eat. And they're all excited. They forgot he's an Israelite. They're all excited because the man of God, the guy who's performing all these miracles, is coming through their town. And you can imagine the mayor coming out and going, brilliant, I'll give him the key to the city and he can do a nice little speech and he's getting ready. And then they ask, well, where disciples is Jesus going to? How long is he going to stay? Oh, he'll probably be here a night, then he's off to Jerusalem. Where? Well, he's going to Jerusalem, it's Passover, but he's on his way. Nah, sorry, we're busy that day. What do you mean you're busy? You just said we're giving, we don't want him here. Our problem's not with Jesus. Our problem is where he's going to. Let him do the miracles, but where he's going to, nah. He can't, he's not welcome here anymore. And it reminds me of many teenagers, actually. You find when they have a resolution to follow Christ, they often report that their friends stop talking to them. It's like they've been excommunicated. It's like they're no longer invited out. They choose to follow Christ, a noble thing that's going to change this world. And yet their friends decide to disinvite them, unfriend them on Facebook. I'm sure it happens to us older lot, but we just don't notice it or don't say it. But the cost to follow Christ sometimes involves losing your friends, losing your loved ones. You've not done anything wrong, but that can hurt. That can cut deep. The Lord says in Isaiah 43 that he will never forget us. And in 1 Peter 5, he says, cast all your anxieties unto the Lord. Cast them all, because he cares for you. So although, like Jesus, you might be rejected for the journey you're on and whether you're destined to, the Lord will always be with you and will always care for you. We see in the next bit of scripture, 56 to 57, we see a man who must have seen all these miracles going on. You forget I'm playing, it's still in my head as a movie. So he's seen Jesus performing all these miracles and he's going, I'm going to follow you. You can feel the excitement. I'm going to be one of the 12. I fancy this. I can go for that journey. I've heard what he just said about my friends. I'm all right. But Jesus does something odd. Well, I think it's odd. He replies talking about foxes and birds. He says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, movie's going on in my head. I can imagine that bloke going, what on earth is Jesus talking about? I want to join. I'm signing up. And Jesus is talking about what? Sleep? Now, journeys are tiring. Jesus has been ministering, healing, feeding thousands of people. It goes from really high points. I can imagine when those 5,000 people, men it was, and plus women and children, are fed. The excitement, but the energy it took from him, exhausting. He comes down. And it's like your journeys are like emotional roller coasters. One minute you're euphoric, next minute you're sad. You got the job. Yes. And then you realize the traveling. You got paid. Yes. And then you spent it in the first week and you're looking forward to the next payday. Yeah? Journeys are exhausting. And the journey you are on now is exhausting. But Psalms 23, it tells us, the Lord is our shepherd. He leads us to green pastures. Not the one where it's got straw, that yellowy grass colour that hurts your back or feet when you're laying on it. The green stuff, the luscious green grass that's soft, bouncy, and hay fever safe. You lay in it, relaxed and chilled. And then the Lord leads you to the still, or in some translations, calm waters. Your life is busy. Your journey's busy. Still, calming, slow breathing, space to think. Waters, refreshing, revitalizing. And it goes on to say, for he restores your soul. Your journeys are exhausting. They're going to go through highs and they're going to go through lows. But come to the Lord, for he will restore your soul. The third man got caught out. Jesus said, I'm going to call you. You. I'm calling you. The man's thinking about it. And he says, let me just go bury my dad. As if it's like a casual thing you say in a conversation. I'm just going to go and bury my dad. And Jesus does that odd thing again and responds unexpectedly. He says, let the dead bury the dead. And for you are to go and proclaim the gospel. I have always, since a child, thought that comment is the bizarrest comment in the Bible. Right? How can the dead bury the dead? Is he talking spiritually? What's going on here? So you'd be pleased to know, for the sermon, I did some research, which is always a benefit, I think. And during that research, I discovered that obviously a physical dead person can't bury a physical dead person, so he's not talking about that. But actually, it's a term that they used to use as a phrase to say, I'm going to spend time with that person until they die and then bury them. So it's not like he's dead, I'm going to bury him now. It's like an excuse. I'm going to spend time with my dad. He might have 20, 30, 40, 50 years left. But when he dies, when he eventually dies, I'll come and join you. And Jesus is calling him up on it. You might as well have told Jesus, I'm too busy washing my hair today. I'll call you back. I'm busy at work. I'll call you back. You can hear the phone ringing. Jesus is calling. But I've got dinner. Star Trek's on. It's worth watching, by the way. Star Trek's on. Can't be bothered to answer. But the people who answer the call, they see things. Don't believe me? Read the book of Acts. Acts is full of people like you and me. People who don't think we're that great. People who think, oh, I'm just myself. What can I do? Who Jesus called. And they said, okay, Lord, I will follow you. I'm going to make you my destination. And look what happened. Look at us today. We are a product of someone saying, yes, Jesus, yes. And God is literally calling every single one of you now. On this journey of yours, you are being called. But are you going to be like this man and offer an excuse about your hair or TV or some nonsense? Or are you going to pick up that phone and answer the call for Christ? The last one, another man, says, God, I'm going to follow you. I've heard what you said. I've heard that it can be exhausting and you're going to be there for us. I've heard you say that you care for us and that we might lose some friends on the journey. I've heard you say that maybe we should answer your call. So I'm actually going to answer it. I'm going to go for it. I will follow you. Then Jesus does what he's been doing all this chapter. Replies in a way we're not expecting. He says, someone who's ploughing a field and looks behind them is not fit to serve the kingdom of God. Well, it's a bit like you're applying for your lorry's driver's license and you're busy looking behind you and wondered why you crashed the van and you haven't passed. Yeah? You've got to be looking at your destination where you're going to. Because if you don't, you're going to crash. You're going to fall. I'd fall off this stage if I wasn't looking forward. Jesus is calling us to look forward. And he promised us that we will not be disappointed. Now, what are you thinking? You're thinking, yeah, but the grass is always green on the other side, isn't it? Always. Let's be truthful. And it reminds me of a story of two men, John and Dave. Good friends, being friends all their life. They go to the park to see each other for the first time in a couple of years. They get their bag of chips. Same bag of chips, same shop, same salt and vinegar. And they're sitting down, and while they're chatting, John realises that Dave's eyeing up his chips. And to be fair, John fancies Dave's chips. So they agree to swap bags. And they're munching in their chips, and guess what happens? Dave fancies John's chips again. But that's so true. Whenever we are in a process, whenever we're on a journey, wherever we're going somewhere, it always looks better behind. But when you were behind, you wanted to be where you are now. It's like your memory plays tricks on you, a bit like Facebook, always presenting the best image. Have you ever seen a sad person on Facebook unless they're selling you a product? I've not. It's always your best picture. There's always the picture where, in my case, put up a lot of makeup, you know. And it's like your memory, when you look back, it reminds you of all the fond times. I remember what it was like back there. It was easy. Life was easy. I got sleep. I had a few friends. But then you realize something great's going to come from it. I heard another story. It's a true story. I can't remember it precisely, but it's true. A mentor goes to see their mentoree, that is the word. And they arrange to meet at a coffee shop. And they go to the coffee shop, and the mentor's sitting there and he's waiting. He's got there 5 minutes early. The person doesn't turn up. 5, 10 minutes. True to form, he gets the phone out, texts, tries calling. The young person doesn't answer. Waits an hour. Gives up. Goes home. The young person apologises, says, can we meet next week? Same coffee shop, same time, same place. Sure, you're going to turn up. Promise you I'll be there. The mentor goes to the shop, sits there with his coffee, bought a book this time because he made that mistake the first time. Then, sitting there, 5, 10 minutes, and like the last time, the young person's not turning up. So they read their book, get quite far into it, and give up and go home. And I'm pretty sure that mentor was thinking, why on earth am I here? What a waste of time. I could be watching Star Trek, worth watching. Or I could be at home with my family, could be down the pub. I could be anywhere. You know, looks better back there. Why'd I bother signing up for this? What a waste of time. Anyway, the young person calls. They initiate the call and say, look, genuinely, truly sorry. Can we please meet? Are you going to turn up? The mentor says, yes. You haven't the last two. I promise you I'll be there. You promised last time. I'll be there. Goes to the coffee shop, same time, same place. This time the person brings two books. And the young person actually turns up. And sits down. And it's like, well, I don't mean to start on a negative, but where were you the last two times, you know? Seriously. The person said, I was here. I was actually across the road, I was watching you. And I wanted to see how long you would stay. Because my family have hurt me and they left me. And I wanted to see if you would leave me. The grass is always greener. It may look tough while you're going through it. But if you hang on in there, something good will come from it, I promise you. Deuteronomy 36, and I'll leave you with this. Deuteronomy 36 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be full of dread. For the Lord your God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not leave you, nor will he forsake you.
Thank you, Mark. Let's just pray, shall we? And I sense that there are some here who are on that journey, but it's very hard going right now. And we weren't promised it would be easy, but we were promised that Jesus would be with us in all that we go through. And so, Father, I do want to pray for those who are really struggling right now for whatever reason, either because of some pain or confusion or difficulty in relationship, family issues, work issues. Father, we do pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon us again and reassure us of your presence. And thank you for the promise in your word that says a bruised reed you won't break and a dimly burning wick you won't snuff it out. And so, Lord, rekindle and strengthen faith, bring renewed hope and healing. Help all of us, Lord, to look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith who's gone before us. And so, Father, we thank you for the word you've spoken to us through Mark this morning. Lord, help us to keep our hand on the plough, as it were, and not look back. In Jesus' name.